Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs Outlast, the podcast where you just chat shit about wrestling. I'm Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by Lee. How are you, mate? Good?
Yeah, not bad, yeah?
Yes, I am, son. I've had a week off, so can't really complain too much.
I'm sure you'll find something to complain about, man.
Well, we're going to have a solid 30 to 45 minutes talk about wrestling. I'm bound to complain about something.
Yeah. Yes,
you are correct. it's been a decent week. Little travels on Sunday, which obviously we will get to. I don't remember doing too much on Monday. Did I do anything on Monday?
I don't think we actually spoke on Monday, did we?
Nah, probably didn't need to. we all know I talk so much, should have done plenty of it on Sunday, so. Tuesday got to go see a Lego exhibition. That was kind of cool. It's pretty good for me. Took the two PFs with me. So I had to build a little treasure chest thing that was kind of a little set that you could get and build while you're there and take home. So I built that for Phoebe. Once I'd done that, I then had to build one for the woman next to me, for her granddaughter, I think. And then once I'd done that one, I then helped out some other dude build one for his daughter as well. So I was like, cool.
Didn't I just presume you weren't there?
He genuinely did. He went after it. He was like, you part of the exhibition? So I was like, nah, mate, no, just I know how to build Lego. So it's cool. I can help you. So I spent time, man. Yep. Felt made me feel pretty good. Hit the driving range yesterday. It went okay. We were supposed to go to the course, but we couldn't book up tea time, so we just went to the range, which is probably a good thing. So I'm not actually, you know, hit a ball for about 18 months. So, you know,
you would have been fine.
Oh yeah, I know. But
I mean, you know, still. You probably would have torn muscle in your back. Blew your hip out, pop your groin again.
Oh yeah, groin's always a problem. My knees hurt today. I think it's because I went for a very long walk yesterday and I've gone swimming today. And I don't know, just feel like my legs are going to cramp up today. It's odd feeling.
Lovely. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I feel it is a bit of that, to be honest, mate. Yes. And welcome to the old man's club as well.
Yep. Good shit. 33 now.
Indeed, you old bastard.
Finally grew a pair of bollocks.
I told you they come in at 33. You know, I told you. That's when they drop. That's when they drop for me anyway.
Considering my birthday consisted of buying Anthony Joshua tickets for you and two others, and obviously myself.
Yeah, you made that sound like you were just buying it for some people and not actually going yourself. And we all paid you pretty promptly.
Oh, I was saying to Matt the day afterwards, I was like, no, on the night, sorry, it was the quickest I've ever been paid for anything.
We were excited to go.
Literally, like, instantaneous.
Yeah. We all had the money there ready, because whichever one of us got through first was going to do it, we, you know, had to be ready. So, yeah, good shit, man, good shit. Looking forward to tomorrow to celebrate your birthday. Should be good, man.
Yeah, hopefully the rain holds off a little bit.
It's indoors anyway, so
cool.
It's undercover. Right, well, I think that's us stalled for time enough with our cold open. Little insight into our lives, as we've learnt. We've had a new listener for last week, and apparently I'm not allowed to insult him, so I won't say anything bad about him. Although he no longer employs me. So
did he actually say that?
No, of course he didn't. Just joking.
I didn't know whether he did or he went, look, you went a bit too hard on me last
week. Oh God, no. Look, you wait till fantasy football season. You'd be fucking merciless there. But anyway, we digress.
So what do you want to talk about first, Andrew?
What do we remember?
AEW, because I literally watched it 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but it probably makes sense. Yeah. I mean, we can probably talk about many of the Ric Flair references throughout the show. or just Cody's possible retirement.
No, that's got to be kayfabe. Got to be kayfabe.
I, considering what I've just said, Lee, here's a thing that might insult him. I, because he was very excited that that Cody had put Malakai Black over. Like, he's like, oh, but my boy Cody's like, he you know, he's done something nice. He's actually put him over. He's not really buried him. Yeah, sure. So he's put him over. You know, he did get beat pretty swiftly. But yeah. I looked at him and went, still 7 minutes left of here. So still give me some stupid bollocks coming. And then suddenly, yeah, we get a 5 minute monologue from Cody. So then it's suddenly all about him, as Black has just disappeared from the ring of God. So, also, we're still going to end the show with it all being about Cody, even though he's lost. Cool.
It did make me laugh knowing that Black come back, hit him in the back, and it reminded me of Bane breaking Batman's back in the in the Robot Chicken universe. Okay. When it's just literally one episode of, he literally breaks Batman's back about 15 times.
I've not seen that one, so I'll take your word for it.
It's some good shit, man. You watch it. I
guarantee it is.
That's a glowing endorsement for my recommendations from Andy now. Guarantees it probably is good.
Probably is good. By the way, you should definitely watch in Parks and Rec. It is made by the same guys who are creators of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so.
Yeah.
You'll like it.
And it does have some of the same writers that do in The Office as well, so I can throw that back into you as well.
Well, there you go, son. No reasons not to watch it now. I really don't know where they're going with that. Would Cody really retire?
No. My thoughts was, and I was dying to put this in the group, but then I realised we'd have nothing to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, it's very difficult when that group goes, oh, we've already talking. Yes, but I don't want to get all of my ideas out now because, you know.
So obviously, Punk and Daniel Bryan are rumoured to be joining.
I mean, you say rumoured.
Yeah.
Pretty much ink is drying, isn't it?
Apparently so. What I think is they will run like a NWO sort of angle.
Not a Nexus thing.
No, and then Cody will be the Hulk Hogan of the group essentially. He'll come back to save AEW, but really he turns against them. That would be my booking anyway. Because Cody and Hulk seem to have similar characteristics. Obviously, Cody's not a vile racist, so.
No, but he is the all-American poster child, so.
There's certain levels of nepotism at times.
Just a touch.
Yeah. So that's what I think happens. Cody maybe goes away for a couple of months.
Sure.
Enjoys time with his daughter for a bit. Comes back thinking he's going to make the big save. And then he finally turns heel. You'll know he'll turn heel because he'll dye his hair black because, you know, that's his thing.
Standard.
But yeah. Didn't mind it. I quite enjoyed the fact that Malakai Black destroyed him. If it does take Cody out of the equation, if it does, who does Malakai Black move on to next? Because I can't help but feel he's going to tread a bit of water.
That is kind of where I struggled as well. Because it makes sense for Cody to miss some time now.
Yeah.
Because of kind of what he was saying and stuff. So it would make sense for him to miss a bit of time. But yeah, it's going to be strange. I don't see what you do with him now, because unlike when they brought Miro in and he didn't really have a massive impact at the start and didn't have a lot of momentum going in, whereas they seem to push Black straight away. And obviously had him take out the number one guy literally in the company. So
it's very similar to how they booked Lance Archer to begin with. So, like, he come in, tore through everyone, got to Cody, you know, in a big boss level, got beat, then he kind of floundered for a couple of months. And I don't really want that to happen to
Exactly. But then the only other person who has done this to Cody was Luke Harper. Yeah. He came in, destroyed Cody in, 2 minutes to win the TNT title or whatever.
Obviously, I think that was going to evolve into a completely different story, but sadly, never
did. Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, they did start something at that time. So, I don't know.
I don't think Cody was actually planned to win the belt back. He was just like, no, you had to.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And then they've just kind of had to roll with the punches, unfortunately. But speaking of like the Dark Order, the Hangman Page story still got me intrigued. Is he just going to go back to being a recluse drunk for a bit? I mean, it's a relatable thing.
It's still a strange one because I don't really get why the Elite still messing with him. Like, surely he's done.
It's just the history of it all, isn't it, really? It's like if Adam Cole goes to AEW, the Young Bucks might have to start referring to him as a ghost. Like, this is on being the Elite when he left for WWE. They literally called him a ghost for a couple of months.
Yeah, they're pricks. Apart from probably like the TNT title, I don't really know what they're booking with anything for AEW right now.
As I put in a group earlier, Miro's gimmick at the moment is fucking amazing. From the music to being called the Redeemer. I was like, it's beautiful. Considering what he debuted as, which was Kip Sabian's best friend.
Yeah, which is a strange one.
When really it maybe should have been the other way around.
Yeah, certainly for two guys that I'm surprised they'd ever met before.
Yeah, it was a weird dynamic, but you know, at least they could give him a slow build to this, and they've actually built something.
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, like, no one thought Lee Johnson was going to win.
Nah, not at all.
It was like I can't remember his name now. Nalaki Chavo, and
I'm sorry, who?
Ooh, Chavo.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Sick.
And Andrade. Oh, El what's Eagle. A little? Yeah, what's the little fella's name?
Because he got destroyed. Del Sol.
Yeah, because he got destroyed last week by Malakai Black.
He is to be honest, he's just the Kalisto of.
Yeah, yeah. He's just someone who can bounce around and make it look quite good.
Yeah.
But, one letdown from AEW for me was the Jericho Juventud Guerrero. The match wasn't bad, but it just made no fucking sense. That should have been like the first fucking labour of Jericho.
Certainly when it follows a death match against...
Yeah. I mean, the death match should have been the last one before he faces MJF in whatever stipulation he decides. I presume the actual MJF-Jericho match will be All Out.
I imagine so. Yeah.
And, I was just like, well, it's a bit weird because, one, Juventud wasn't wrestling heel because, you know, most luchadors don't.
Well, that's why I texted you. I was like, hold up, I don't. And I hadn't really thought of that before because, surprisingly, like, I didn't know who Juventud was. Yeah, so I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'll watch the match, I guess, MJF. Fine.
I mean, I wasn't a big follower of like WCW back then because it was just difficult for me to watch, like TV times, etc. But yeah, I wouldn't have called it like a classic Jericho story. I mean, the fact that you've never heard of him at any point, and I talk about Chris Jericho a lot.
I mean, I've literally never heard of this man until he was announced last week.
So,
and I thought you'd misspelt Juventus.
good shit. But yeah, I was just like, that could have been like week one, Spears week two, Wardlow week three, Nick Gage week four, MJF week five.
I don't mind the Wardlow one because at least they have the stipulation of MJF being the ref. So to me, I'm looking at going, I don't understand how he wins the match.
Did MJF fuck up his promo as well? Because I'm pretty sure just said he's going to accompany Wardlow to the ring. And then JR like kind of like overshot him. No, he's going to be in a ref.
If I'm honest, I heard it the other way around. I thought he basically did say that, yeah, he's going to be the ref. I was like, oh shit, all right, he's fucked then. And then it was later on, I assume it was Jim Ross. He goes on, he'll be there ringside. I went, oh, I thought he was the ref. And then you guys put in the group and said it was the ref. I was like, okay. So I don't know. I assume he is the ref. It makes sense. Yeah, if he's just a ringside, what's the bloody point of that?
Because the only thing I can think of what happens is Wardlow inadvertently takes out MJF.
Oh, God. And then, fucking ref bump.
Yeah, and then Chris Jericho does the Judas effect, takes out Wardlow, and then picks up MJF's limp hand, and then counts three. That's the only thing I can think of.
No, like I said, I think he's going to have to tap. So it's unequivocal. Like, even MJF has to call that. Because like, there's no way he's counting three. Because why would
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
There's literally no reason for him to count three.
But I remember when MJF did this sort of storyline with Cody. Cody actually lost one of the challenges and they still went on and had the match anyway.
Well, that's because he was the fucking show.
Because, you know, wrestling booking.
And it matters really.
Yeah. I enjoyed AEW. It was an easy watch straight after work.
Yeah, it normally is. I've got no complaints.
And your boy Devin Rice got an appearance.
Jesus Christ.
Or 2.0.
I saw that, or Matt Lee and Jeff Carter. Absolute names there for you. Considering I never do their fucking names in NXT.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, God, I have no idea.
Is that
just Marcel Martel?
No, not Matt Goon. Is that just a play on?
Is it Bartel Martel? Is that what you think his name was? You think he just went, my name's Bart Martel because I'm a big fan of Martel Bartel? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just gonna say yes, so you shouldn't have fucked up.
Yeah, seriously, I had no idea what their fucking names were, and but I had no desire to remember their fucking
name. MSK, like Nash Carter, Wesley.
Maybe. It's easy to remember because I have two friends, Lee. One's called Matt, one's called Lee. So I should solidly remember that one.
I would like to point out Andrew does have other friends in the world.
It's debatable, but sure.
I mean, sure, we tolerate him the most. And that's evident.
Yeah. Oh my God, when I saw the picture of him, I was like, that's Emerise. What the fuck are they doing on an actual show? Why aren't these pricks on Dark? What is this? Why is this a match? Why are they debuting on an actual show?
I did quite like the trio of Kingston, Moxley, and Allen. I was like, now it could be some crazy shit if they ever want to do something.
It was pretty crazy yesterday, so, you know, one bad.
And I was like, they pretty much alluded to Darby Allin's open challenge from the best in the world on that
nice.
On that 20th of August edition of Rampage.
Nice.
I was like, so if it is CM Punk debuting and they're not massively swerving everyone, is it just bang, first week, boom, dynamite, Darby Allin straight in?
No, they'll probably make him debut on Dark just to fuck with me.
No, and I'll put him on
Elevation.
Yeah, they'll put him on Elevation.
Elevation Monday night, yeah. Fuck's sake.
Which, to be fair, is almost doing the same views as Raw, I imagine.
I'd be more inclined to watch fucking Elevation.
I tried watching Raw. I did try, mate. Why?
Why?
I switched it off after the opening segment.
I haven't even watched the ups and downs of it. Just read the results, and I've instantly forgotten them.
I did watch the ups and downs of it, and Simon Miller, God bless his soul, he was like, you could have just watched any Raw from the past six weeks.
I'm not surprised.
And then just chop and change the matches.
It is some bullshit.
I mean, the positives won, but only by one. And he's the most positive man.
I assume that's the only reason why it won by one, because it's his ups and downs. If it'd been anyone else, I'd be like, no, it's dog shit. And you'd be going, but come on, I'm like, Simon, it's dog shit. Down. Like, just no.
Yeah, but you would just brown down the whole episode of Roy. You'd be like,
no, not the whole episode.
Most segments.
Yeah, I mean, majority of it, sure. But, yeah. I don't, what even happened this week on Raw?
Things. Oh, well, Goldberg showing back up.
Oh, great.
I think that was it.
I heard fucking Bobby Squash.
Keith Lee beat
I forgot that was a thing again.
But
they gave us some 50-50 booking.
Both men since returning have the record of 1-2.
Yeah. Fuck.
And no wonder when a crowd doesn't care about Cross.
Absolutely baffles me. I don't care about that man at all. And I'm a staunch NXT belifer.
Honestly,
if I was him, shit about the man right now.
I would be counting down days to end my contract or Pryo get released and then maybe TNA.
And then,
or
sit, around, and then sit around for 90 days. And 30 days if he's still on his NXT contract.
Depends what they've done in there.
If he was smart, if he was smart and didn't sign his main roster contract. Fuck's sake. And have they just got rid of Scarlett completely now? Because she hasn't even been on NXT. Well, she wasn't on this week. She might have been last week, I think.
She's still there. She's not been future endeavoured yet.
I don't understand that. Like, why would you...
It was part of the gimmick that worked, and they tore that gimmick apart. Well,
yeah, I mean, none of his supposed call it works.
And Raw has just literally spat on his entire NXT run.
Does you remember take Roy? The NXT belt to Raw?
Yeah. So they damaged that as well.
Nice.
But if you remember, like, just maybe last year when Edge appeared on the show. He bumped into Karrion Kross. And he was like, we could have a match.
Everyone thought that it might be that at Mania, we were okay, I'll watch that.
And now if you like Edge versus Kross, you'd be like, Edge is winning in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's good.
Kross won't even have any entrance music at this rate.
Yeah, already in the fucking ring.
I presume his entrance is deemed too long for Raw, so I'll just put him in the ring.
Surely Raw needs more long entrances.
It's a tight more 3 hours time show, for him.
Yeah, but it actually fills the fucking time.
It's the tightest 3 hour show on TV, mate. Snappy. Christ.
Fuck me. Feels like an eternity.
Do you want to refresh my memory about NXT? Literally can't remember a thing about it.
Well, we had the conversation off there where I was like, what happens? Like, I don't know. I remember it was a Lover or Leaver main event.
Yeah, I think that was bollocks.
Sorry, Lover or Loser.
That was absolute bollocks. Because Gargano won. He should have lost her. He still ended up getting her. Fucking pointless.
fucking gutter and all. Dirty boy.
Jesus Christ. Just
dirty boy. Reminiscent of Edge and Lita. Dirty boy.
So hopefully, while I've enjoyed this bollock storyline, and I have to a degree, I hope that's the end of it.
I mean, it won't be, but sure. I have no idea if it means we're going to get a mixed tag match. I mean, possibly, but I mean, Indy's out. Does the premonition come true? Because normally the premonition's always come true, which means has Austin Theory definitely left the family, and Dexter will actually be part of it. It's like, I don't know, mate. Anything could happen. There was some more silly bollocks with Grimes and LA Knight. Didn't hate that. That worked.
And your boys, Grizzled Young Veterans, got a win.
I know, fuck me. Actually got a win. That never happens. Oh, they're still never winning a title, but they've won on TV. Can't take that away from me, Luke. It's on the record.
Ridge Holland made someone look like a jobber who was in the breakout tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not really a breakout star. No. Ridge Holland is a breakout star.
Well, I won't get that far.
And then you've got Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly face off next week, where I'm pretty sure it's going to be a loser leaves town match in that takeover.
Cool, I think. I don't know.
And according to internet reports, that loser will be Adam Cole.
Yeah, quite likely.
Then coming to a Rampage or a Dynamite near you.
Adam Cole, a baby.
And I swear to God, they best have fans for that. Don't shut America down for at least another.
Oh six, my God, I can't. I can't have more time of no Adam Cole baby's being shouted. Just no, not allowed.
Because he's maybe one of the more intriguing people I would love to see in AW. Because I don't think you've read any other rumour, because I'm pretty sure you would have texted me about it. Do you know Britt Baker was on about hiring some security? Because, you know, everyone was after her.
Sure.
Apparently, according to internet rumours, it's the Iconics.
Okay.
I don't get how it works, because they're not exactly security type people, but no, will be some entertaining shit there with the four of them.
There'll also be definitely more security than Rebel is, though.
Yeah.
Although she did wildly swing that. Oh no, that was Red Velvet. That wildly swung that crutch.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God, she needs to fucking tone his head off.
Poor Tony, man.
Did his head nearly went clean off?
Aleister Black almost took him out at the end of the show.
Well, in fairness, that was Tony's own fault for muscling in. I'm going to go check to see if Cody's all right after he's just lost his match. Let me go muscle my way into the fucking ring. All right, Tony.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, but your also, show, is it now? All right.
Also, he took a microphone with him as well.
Yeah, he wanted to interview him, didn't he? He's just lost a big match. So let's go interview him straight after his loss. Oh, yeah, cheese. okay, I wasn't sure the Iconics were going to end up there. From what I'd read before, I wasn't sure they were going to end up there, but fair play to do. I'd like to see them somewhere. I do miss them.
And it is now a show you watch weekly, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. You can keep on that trend.
Exactly.
But yeah, NXT got very good reviews. I was just a bit on the fence with it.
It just feels like the same every week at the minute. I don't know what I would change with it, if I'm honest.
I tend to prefer NXT when they do the live shows, to be honest. I think it's maybe because I already read the results like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
It was like, nah, so I quit watching it.
Well, yeah, sure.
So, also, we went and saw some live wrestling. the past weekend, which we've already alluded to. Did you have a good time, Andrew?
I did, yes. Did you?
I did. It was nice and refreshing.
Cool. Should we wrap up now? Done. Good times, our boy.
Yeah.
Close to show.
Yeah, it was just good to be around wrestling fans. Good to actually watch some wrestling. There's a few things I'd have changed about it, but on the mostly very positive.
We will certainly get into it. So we headed up to Nottingham this past Sunday for the inaugural show of Wrestle Carnival. As guys who listened last week will know. We took a nice little diversion to Leicester.
Yep.
Because I did not want to change in Derby. And then they wouldn't allow us to change in Derby unless I wanted to jump on a rail replacement bus. And fuck that, Lee. Fuck.
Yeah.
So had a nice little 45-minute stopover in Leicester. I took it to Burger King.
Yep. We got some halloumi fries.
Damn right. Don't regret that decision at all. They were. You showed me what it means for shops to be open. Apparently, if the lights are on, shops are open.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Because you seem to have great difficulty in deciphering if a shop was open or not.
Oh, sorry, that is not open. It's like, it is. It's not open. Why would it be? Oh, it is open. Okay. Now, why would Taco Bell be open like half 10? Who's going to Taco Bell for breakfast?
It's like I was like, you're a fucking idiot. Why am I dealing with you?
Oh, Christ. You can't complain. I got you an orange twirl.
Ah, and that was delicious as well.
Somebody Tesco Club Card offers. Got you an orange twirl. Fucking hell. Then we rocked up in Nottingham. I took a cheeky little 10-minute walk to... I have no real idea where we were. Never been that side of Nottingham before.
No.
We ended up at the Portland. Portland Centre.
Yeah.
Basically just a leisure centre. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's probably like the American indie wrestling scene where it's like, we'll just do a show in a gym.
It was literally a gym. It was great. The last time that I've been, which was literally a gym, was it WrestleGate Pro?
Now was that another leisure facility in Nottingham?
It was at the Rushcliffe, yes.
Yeah.
Also went to a gym the first time. I went to the Shropshire Ross Wrestling Alliance. Their super show, whatever they had. They had Chris Ridgeway versus Tony Storm. It's main event.
They also had Chris Masters on the card as well, didn't
they? Did, yes. And still to this day, I think the mass lock is shit. But sure. I don't know, mate. It just looked weak as shit. I'm like, oh, all right.
I feel we're digressing from what we actually should be talking about.
Obviously, because that's what we do. I'm not sure if I liked the fact that as soon as we arrived, they were like, oh, the wrestling's just through there on the left. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Just a minute. Unless you're also a big fan of wrestling, you can spot the fact that I was wearing a Chris Ridgeway shirt and you thought, you know what? These lads are here to see Chris Ridgeway. But I doubt that. Then what is to say I wasn't there just to take up an Aikido lesson that was taking part in the squash court?
What's to say? I believe it was Taekwondo, to be fair.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just Aikido was funny.
Trying to talk to the boys again, aren't you?
Always.
The boys that won't listen.
Yeah, definitely not listening. I could have just been going for a quick swim. I could have spotted you in the gym. But no, straight off, the one was like, oh, it's just down the left. I went through. All right, fine. And then we waltzed into the gym. And that was it.
Yeah.
No, we checked our tickets. No one told us where to sit, stand. No one took our temperature or anything. It was just, we walked in. The guy on the door literally just said, hello, how are you? And I went, we're good. do we do things now? Like, okay, I'm walking away from you now. Cool. So that was nice. And we felt that we literally could have just walked in and not bought any tickets. Fucking marvellous.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that on the next show, just in case.
Yeah, it'd be pretty embarrassing. Although they had room for us, we could have just looked at the tenner and then probably like, sure.
I mean, there was plenty of room in there.
There was. Stood at the whole show.
You got offered a chair like 6 times.
Oh, at least 6 times, but I was like, I don't need that. Stand up.
They must have thought you looked frail. That man needs to sit down.
Don't dare you. But yeah, no, it was genuinely good just to be out and about and be there to just take the piss out of people and just enjoy chatting shit and just going, oh my god, what are these people doing? It's just awesome. Like that old guy who definitely bought a Queen of the Deathmatch shirt and then wore it over his other clothes, but we never saw him buy it,
right?
And we never left.
I don't think he brought that there. I think he travelled with it and got it out of his bag.
Ooh, you reckon?
I think that's what happened. Because one, I don't think that shirt was on sale.
I didn't see it.
Just going to point that out now. Didn't see that shirt on sale.
Nope, you are correct.
Well, no, to be honest, we only checked out the wrestling figure merchandise table.
Yeah, it's a good shit there as well.
Which, in fairness, great collection of figures there.
It was. I still don't understand what the signed MVP Ruthless Aggression figure was behind. Oh, I can't remember what it was behind now. I swear it was like behind a basic Roddy Strong or something.
Yeah.
Like, why is that at the back? He tried not to sell this.
Yeah, maybe he just wanted to keep it,
I suppose.
So, oh yeah, sorry, boss. Didn't sell that one today.
Sorry, boss. I'm pretty sure it's his business, but sure.
when he's talking to his wife afterwards, obviously. She's like, oh, did you make any money today? Did you sell that signed MVP one? And he's like, nah, no one's biting on that one.
Nah, no one wants it. I might just rip off the signature.
Anyway, wrestling, let's talk. You had a fatal four-way opening the card.
Did. Danny Black, Callum Newman,
yep.
Joe Lando, and Maverick Mayhew.
Fast pace, fun, fluffy shit. It's exactly what you need to get into an indie show after what feels like 18 months off.
Well, it was 18 months off. It was the classic multi-man Kurt and Joker.
Not quite a scramble, though.
No, because you didn't go full indie
and give us a scramble.
Yeah. But no, it enjoyed it. On a side note, afterwards, Maverick Mayhew's probably like barely 1-year-old daughter was in the crowd. They walked around during the intermission.
Yep.
She quite enjoyed us.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought she'd look at the wheelchair and then pay some attention to you as well.
Nope, it was full on staring at me. I was like, yeah, this is cool. But now you're freaking me out, kids. Now you're freaking me out. Yeah,
just be polite. That's all you gotta do, bro. Just be polite to people.
No. No.
And the next match on the card is probably my favourite match on the card. I enjoyed this submission match between Chris Woodray and Jay Joshua.
Indeed. Yeah, good shit. I never have any complaints with Chris. One of the reasons why I was going to this event. Jay Joshua can come again. I hope other East Midlands based promotions decide to book him.
There's definitely some meaty kicks in there that reverberated around the gym.
Did we go to the Gordon match after that?
Yes.
I feel like it was the Gordon match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For a bit of silly bollocks.
You say silly bollocks, I'll call it overbooked.
Yeah. Did we get Banks Elijah first?
No, we had that one afterwards.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we were like intermission, and then I didn't do an intermission, then I did Banks Elijah,
yes,
I think.
Correct, yes. Yeah, this is a match where it slightly began to unravel for me.
It went on a bit too long, and it didn't really make sense.
No, I understood why the person who won, but I don't understand why they won in those circumstances.
Can you remind me who won again, please, Andrew?
I can. So the match started with Charles Crowley versus Lion Kid.
Yep.
Charles Crowley eventually beat him and then removed his mask. We saw his face. You and I both saw his face. There is no denying that.
Shattered all kayfabe for us.
Yeah. I mean, I've forgotten what he looks like already, but I did technically see his face.
Like, if he walked past me in the street, I wouldn't go,
oh, not particularly.
That's Lion Kid. No. Yeah.
There's Alan. There he is. I'm assuming his name's Alan, I don't know. Or maybe Leo. Pretty makes more sense. And then a towel was thrown on his face. So he left with no dignity. No dignity whatsoever. It's a yellow towel thrust upon his face.
I've just realised he won because I remember the fucking ending.
There you go.
Yeah.
Next out was Jerry Bakewell.
Honestly,
pun intended, because it is definitely a play on Cherry Bakewell.
Yeah.
A delightful gimmick, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I really did like it.
A delightful gimmick.
I couldn't tell you what to compare it to, but Jesus Christ, it was entertaining.
Bit of Gene money, early Gene money, before he sort of took it a little bit more seriously. You know, at least perceived to be taken a little bit more seriously. Because, like we always said, the first time we saw Gene money, he was dressed as Tinkerbell, for fuck's sake. So, yeah. Yeah. There's always that reference point to go back to. good shit. Charles Crowley goes over again, but doesn't try to remove his mask. And that's where I thought maybe they could have done booking throughout the whole thing and gone, cool, mask being removed. Certainly as we get to the finish. Then Harry Singh comes out, the Kingslayer. See, he knocks him off.
Yeah.
He dethrones Charles Crowley.
Yeah. That's when I started to lose interest, to be fair.
Smashing new ring gear for him, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah. It all looked good. I thought they could have used it more to get Crowley even more over the heel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, considering
they look all the way.
He was, maybe like three heels on the night? He was your definite top male heel, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, because the other guys, I would say, were probably tweeners
at best.
Yeah, because even then, because then Harry Singh gets beaten straight after by that Is It lad, and I have no idea if he was playing heel or face.
Oh, no, he was playing heel, but he was heel in this like post-match interview, which I saw on Twitter. Definitely heel there.
Nice, okay, cool.
And then...
But yes, the final person in this Gauntlet match was the best fancy dressed fan. and I both called it. There was a gentleman who was dressed as John Cena, but was wearing a lucha mask.
Yeah.
So we coined him as Juan Cena. It did not get over, even though we thought that was hilarious. Instead, they just chanted fan, I believe.
Yeah.
Woof. Swinging him his crowd.
I fucking hated his gimmick. I hate it in any other promotion as well. I think it just reeks of pure bollocks. And also, the fact that he was actually a pretty good wrestler underneath that fucking mask and would probably make more sense if he was just on the card in the gauntlet match.
Yeah, if you'd have told me in this gauntlet match Big Guns Joe was in it, we'd have gone, cool. There is a man who's wrestled for Progress in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Technically being on the WWE Network. But yeah. We'll have him dressed as John Cena in a mask and have him sit in the crowd for a good 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, fair play, I didn't do the whole WWE thing of just bringing him out.
Oh, yeah, just weaving for the start of the match. Yeah, at least he's there the whole time.
It's a bit more difficult than an indie wrestling show, to be fair.
And fair, so it did catch our attention because we both thought, well, it has to be that guy because he's the only one dressed, so shouldn't they have to pick him? And sure enough, they did. And then I called it when he looks a little bit like Big Guns Joe. Oh, shit, it actually is. I was like, yeah, done here.
Yeah, because his name was Joe. And then Lucina ringing out, and I'm like, oh, you've got some pretty big guns as well.
Yeah. I threw you the DX sign, and all was good.
Yeah.
Didn't really care for the match. It did nothing for anybody, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I mean, it should have ended up with Crowley getting to the final. Maybe unmasking, obviously, Lionkey, which happened. Maybe try to unmask Jerry Bakewell.
Unmask Big Guns Joe, but that doesn't stop Joe because he doesn't care. Joe knocks him over, wins, boom. Everyone goes home happy.
And then you hit the Big Guns Joe music. Everyone's happy. Yep. He'd have probably been recognised there. So.
I'd have thought so. Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like, weird.
Yeah, odd. Then our first half main events. The Nigerian Kaiju Warren Banks versus Elijah. Thumbs up all round.
Good match. Good, solid match.
Yep.
Not a good shit. Got me back into it a little bit.
If I was this, I think this was probably the second match that you sent me when the card was sort of coming through. And again, I was like, yeah, that'll do for me. I'll go see that. Wasn't disappointed. Like Warren Banks. I think Elijah is underrated. So fair play and getting a bit of a chance. Or as a guy who seems to be in that mid card, upper mid card, doesn't let you down. It's all right.
Yeah, it's two very good workers.
Indeed.
But it was a bit of a palate cleanser for me, to be fair.
It was. There was no raffle. The intermission, no raffle.
Yeah. We actually didn't mention that. When he was at the show. Because I would have thought you would have been around and go, where's my raffle? I've only come from a raffle.
It's not Resurgence.
Maybe mentioned a meat raffle.
Meat raffle! Yeah. Yeah, it's different.
So yeah, intermission, nothing happened.
We didn't even leave the room, did we?
No.
I'm not even sure I stretched my legs. Didn't even ask me even. Brilliant. We're fun guys. Then we came back for a fatal four-way. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. It goes this way. For the Catch Pro Women's Wrestling Championship. It was billed on the card as Sky Smithson, Heidi Katrina, Lizzie Evo, Champ, and Ivy.
Yeah.
So here are your heels. So we might not have been able to necessarily pick who was necessarily heel for the gentleman on the card. For the ladies, it was quite clear.
Yeah.
However, there was a change in the booking, as unbeknownst to us, Heidi Katrina was not available to compete. I don't remember it being explained to me in any way, but...
It wasn't, mate.
Cool. However, we did arrive before Chantal Jordan, so we did see her show up and run, oh, cool, Chantal Jordan's here. And then I remember looking at her going, oh, she's not on the card. Strange. Why is she here? Then it became apparent to me that she's now in this Battle 4. I was like, oh, wicked. All right, Chantal. Kamikaze Pro. Get in. This is probably when the wheels started to fall off a little bit again.
I mean, it was a good Fatal 4-Way. There were some good spots in it.
Indeed.
I really like the one girl who reminded me of Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, so I'm terrible. Sky Smithson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's the first time I've seen her, so I'll let you on.
Lizzie Evo's a very good heel.
Yep, I didn't even have to be that scouse for it either.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, she's probably got a lot of potential now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivy's a solid heel anyway.
Talks too much.
Yeah, definitely should have teased that match with Lucy a bit more as well. Because I'm still waiting for that match. Breed, no need to sort that out. Because I'm pretty sure he's going to be a tables match as well, or something ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I've just seen him put through a table.
And, but yeah. I don't know why they did the whole, let's switch the belt to Chantal Jordan and then switch it back. Unnecessary bollocks.
Yeah.
Just let the heel get the heel win. And then move on with your lives.
Yeah, especially for a belt that isn't your promotion.
Yeah.
Just put a match on, it's cool. We all understand that it's probably not going to change hands.
It's essentially like when there's a title match at a WWE house show. You know the belt's not really going to change hands. But, you know, you believe it for a split second or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that. And that's fine.
Because we might live in Lowell, Massachusetts, but we don't. So.
The match itself was fine. The ending was overbooked.
Just didn't need it. And then that brought us straight in to what I thought was supposed to be the main event.
I believe that was misinformation by me.
That's fine. That's fine. In fairness, when I tell you what the main event is, I'm slightly confused. So I would have expected this to be the main event. Was Session Moth Martina versus Giselle Shaw.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. Two fairly high profile names of the past.
I'll be honest. Was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then... Giselle Shaw attacks...
Session Moth didn't even get one lap round the ring.
Nope.
I think she spat some beer out.
While she was being attacked.
Then gets attacked, got thrown into the old shutters.
Yeah.
And everyone acted like she... been legit injured. Oh, a big shout out to the ref. I couldn't praise her enough on the day, Lee, and I still can't now. Glorious work of just telling everybody just to like piss off and stuff. Had great control of it. I really enjoyed it, man.
Good reffing. She had a nice solid count cadence as well for you.
Exactly. It was good shit, man. It's good shit.
Considering there was a lot of Session Moth fans in attendance.
There was a dude who bought a shirt with him, as we've alluded to then wear as he got there.
I couldn't help but feel a little bit duped. I mean, why have an air and then not do anything with it? I understand the booking of it and the logic of it of they'll do Giselle Shaw versus Session Moth next month or something, or like a tag match. But this isn't WWE programming. It didn't need the fucking TV booking.
Really, really didn't.
Just put the fucking match on. You can still have Nihil go over. It's fine.
Yeah.
And instead...
Because instead... Oh, and because they played the music too soon, I was like, great.
Yeah, yeah.
But they played the music of Heidi Katrina. And this was a name that was not recognisable to me. Until afterwards, I went, oh shit, she was supposed to be the woman in the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah, yeah. I literally, it's not a knock on her anyway, I'd never heard of her before. Good baby face though. Not the Session Moth, that was my only gripe.
Yeah, it was strange, and I felt that just took a bit of energy out of what was kind of going on.
Yeah, the crowd were definitely a bit like, oh, okay, what the fuck.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a shame. But then Liz Evo came back out and hit her after the match. So
yeah,
we'll get something going on. Whether it's across in the other promotion or this, I don't know.
Yeah, so whether they've set up like a heel tag team for Wrestle Carnival.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Because, yeah, they're both quite good on the mic, so it might be quite entertaining. But, yeah, the fact that Session Rock wasn't in the match kind of took away from me enjoying that match. So I was kind of like, oh, yeah, let's just get this done. Thinking that was the end of the show, and it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, because both you and I went, oh, they've kind of missed a match off here. Like, okay, maybe he's been dropped or whatever. Thinking that was the main event, because that's what I assume had been booked. But no, the main event was actually Charlie Sterling versus Brady Phillips.
Yeah.
Like you said, mate, I mean, no offence to either of these guys, but I hadn't heard of them before Sunday.
I heard of Charlie Sterling, but never seen him work before. But to be honest, I really enjoyed that match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But thinking then, oh, so this is main event. These two guys are now not heard of. So this is strange.
It's a bold move, to be fair.
But no, you're right. I really liked it. I think Charlie Sterling has got potential there. I think he could work in a few places. He could.
I mean, I said to you that he kind of reminds me of Pete Dunne.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't say he's in the whole hog of Pete Dunne, but there's definitely some similarities in there. Maybe the ring gear and the hair.
Sure.
I think that's where I was getting it from. Okay. But you know, he's got a glorious hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Decent main event.
The one thing I need to say, going back to the ref, she took an amazing bump in this match.
Oh, my word. So good.
Was it like a rolling cutter? It was basically an RKO out of nowhere.
It pretty much was. I'm trying to... Because it looked really dramatic as well. It was absolutely perfect timing. I want to say he came off like the middle rope for it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's kind of what it was.
Because I got the added effect of my wheelchair felt like a dual shock vibration because you popped and ended up shaking my wheelchair as well.
Awesome.
So I had the PS2 dual shock vibe about it.
You are welcome. You are welcome. I could have gone full Battlegrounds for you and just shouted the name of the restaurant or the controller as well.
Oh, no, never do that because that's
freaky,
weird.
That's some freaky shit, mate. I don't need that. That was glorious. So that's probably why they needed another ref for that weekend.
Yeah.
original ref didn't want to take the bump.
Maybe that's why that match was on last.
Yeah.
Because I knew there was no other ref.
Yeah. Nothing left. Just in case we don't go to the ref, we might not do this spot. Okay.
Yeah.
But we've got one, so you're cool. We're not doing that anymore.
So, yeah, overall, I did actually enjoy it. But there's a few spots where I was like, this is maybe overbooked for a first show. Just put the show on.
Yeah.
But all in all, I had a good time. The staff were friendly. I'd recommend it to people.
100% agree. I think they managed to get some good names on there, which is always a good start. Put on some decent matches. I thought they had the right layout. In terms of the card, like I said, I think they overthought a few things, which we'll probably all be guilty of if we were to do your own promotions.
I mean, if I booked my own card, it would be overbooked and shot to the moon.
Oh my God, of course it would be. Mainly because you'd never think you're going to get another show, would you? So you go, let's go balls to the ball. We might not do this again.
To be fair.
Exactly. It was always going to get a free pass anyway, to be fair, because it was our first live show in like 18 months. So it could have been dog shit and I'd have still sat here and gone, yeah, it was just awesome. Could just know us to be out. and Tyson T-Bone was there. And I'm pretty sure I was the only person who realised he was there.
Yeah, I mean, I turned around and just basically shrugged my shoulders at that guy.
I mean, that was my reaction as well, because I remember just going to you going, Tyson T-Bone over there. And you went, cool, right, yep. And that was it. That was all we had to say on that matter.
And also, if you've got a chance to go to their show next month, it will have a classic match of Chris Ridgway versus Carlos Ramo on there, which, honestly, I can't tell you enough how amazing I think this match is going to be.
Well, considering 2 years ago, my match of the year was Carlos Ramo versus Charlie Evans. I have high hopes for this.
Yeah, and that's not even the main build match on the card, which is good going, because you've got Doug Williams versus Dean Allmark as well in a Ring of Honor Pure Rules match.
They booked the shit out of that in their promo vid.
Yeah, to be honest, that promo vid was fucking epic.
Yeah.
But like indie level, some good shit out of it.
Exactly, yeah. That hype video was decent. So, yeah, all round, decent, mate. It was nice to be out and about. We finished the evening up at Fat Hippo. So if you ever need any burgers and you find yourself in Nottingham, hit up Fat Hippo. Good place. Good burgers. Any final thoughts, mate?
I'm all good, mate. I think we should wrap this show up.
Indeed. In that case, we are Champs Outlast. You can find us on all the major podcast networks. Spotify, Google, Amazon, Apple, wherever you find your podcast, we are there. Champs Outlast. You can also find us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, @ChampsOutlast. Check us out on YouTube. We're everywhere. Fuck it. Until next time, see you guys later.
Peace out.